boy, does Jesus have a gift for you? Let's talk about it on Key Life.
This is Key Life. We're here to let you know that because of what Jesus has done, God will never be angry at you again. Steve invited our friend Justin Holcomb to do the teaching this week. Justin is an Episcopal priest, an author, and professor at Reformed Theological Seminary.
Thank you, Matthew. This is going to be a great week, and I've been looking forward to it. Dr. Bishop Justin Holcomb is here, one of the voices of Key Life, a scholar, a man of God, and my friend. And we're going to talk, and as you know, if you've been listening, we've started a series on the Holy Spirit. And I thought it would be good for us to take a break as we talk about the Holy Spirit and listen to Justin teach us some things about the Holy Spirit. Hey, man, thanks for taking time from your busy schedule to be with us.
Anything for a professor who now calls me friend. So we've known each other. Like we keep on telling people.
Time.
But 1995.
I tell people I knew you when your hair was down to your belt.
That's almost 30 years ago.
I know. And I remember when you cut your hair, and I remember the reason you cut your hair.
Yeah. It worked.
It did not. It was an amazing statement about you and your willingness to submit, even if you didn't want to. And I thought, you know, I knew you were bright, but I thought, you know, this is the real deal, and look what God has done.
Just so listeners know, I cut it so I could. I was worried that when I was applying for PhD programs, people wouldn't take me seriously. Little did I know, they didn't care how long my hair was at all.
No, man, that would have added to Emory.
And cutting my hair didn't make me dumb like Samson with making him weak. So it was a complete dumb decision that I made.
Yeah, but you did it for the right reasons. Listen, let's talk about the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go in 1,000 different directions. One of the interesting things about the Holy Spirit, there's not a lot about it from Christian writers.
Yeah.
And that may be because of the job description of the Holy Spirit, and we'll get into that this week as we talk about it. But let's talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, let's spend our time on that. And I think you're right. Let's go to that, because you have your book, you know, Follow the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few others. Another author referred to the Holy Spirit as the forgotten God. One of my friends, Mike Horton, has a book called Rediscovering the Holy Spirit. So there's not a lot in Christian history. The debates in early church history were about, is Jesus God or man or both, and basics of Jesus Christ. It wasn't until later that the issue about the Holy Spirit came up, you know, after they figured out who is Jesus. And, you know, some of the early church fathers, known as the Eastern ones, the Cappadocians, there's one, Basil, about, you know, on the Holy Spirit. And we actually start having statements about the Holy Spirit is also fully God, just like Jesus is fully God. So you have Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed. So early Christian statements were clear that Jesus is God. We're not going to do a whole bunch of teaching on that. That's apologetics. But the thing we do want to say is the Holy Spirit in this episode is a person of the Trinity and a gift to us, and that's where we want to unpack a little bit. So let's start a little bit with that the Holy Spirit is a person. The language we use for Trinity is God is one in essence and three in persons, the person of the Father, the person of the Son, the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's important because the Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is He, not it. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force that kind of blows around and kind of gently nudges us in a certain direction and puts spiritual wind on our spiritual faces or something like that. That's not it. Some Bible verses. Listen to these things. These are all characteristics of someone who a being who is personal. And so Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You don't grieve a force.
Yeah, right.
You don't grieve an influence. 1 Corinthians 2:11, for whom among Mang knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him, in the way no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit's a person who himself knows the thoughts of God and reveals reveals to us what he himself knows. Verse 11, continues, all these are the works of the one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. And so he works, and the pronoun used there is actually he. The Jehovah's Witnesses, actually, in their New World Translation, actually translate the language there from he to it, and there's no reason to do that. Romans 8, and we'll do two more. Romans 8, 26 and 27, in the same way the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how we ought to pray, for the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groans that words cannot describe. I mean, the Holy Spirit's searching our hearts, praying on our behalf. Forces don't intercede. And then last, Romans 15, 30. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join with me in my struggle by praying to God for me. The Holy Spirit loves, and the forces don't love. So that's important, that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, there's lots of confusion. And I mean, big picture is our relationship with God. We receive things from the Father in the Son by the Spirit. So from God to us is from the Father in the Son by the Spirit. And then we go to the Father in the Son by the Spirit.
Mm.
And so we're going to unpack what that means. But the Holy Spirit's personal. Holy Spirit's also a gift. It's a personal gift. And this is the language from Jesus. And this is the beautiful stuff of Luke 11. Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. And he says this famous passage about prayer. And suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me three loaves because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are with me in bed. Can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because the man's persistent, he will get up and give him what he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Here we go. Verse 11, Luke 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Mm.
The Holy Spirit, Jesus is framing the relationship of the Holy Spirit to us as a gift from God. Yeah. We're going to unpack what this gift is and does. But the real important part in there is the ask, seek, and knock.
Yeah.
We think that we have to be good enough to get this gift. We have to ask hard enough to get this gift. We have to ask sincerely enough, earnestly enough, all the adverbs that kill us enough to get this gift. And Jesus says, it's pretty simple. It's kind of like someone who's persistent who says, ask, seek, and knock. And so the encouragement is ask and seek and knock. I mean, this is the simplicity of receiving the gift of the Spirit. I'm going to stop there and see, because that's enough things to put in the room. And
oh, that's
what
good.
Would be helpful for us to pursue?
You know, I Williams, who was C.S. Lewis's friend, wrote a number of kind of weird novels, but he also wrote A History of the Holy Spirit, in which he called the Holy Spirit our Lord, the Holy Spirit, emphasizing exactly what you're talking about. The gift and the person of the Holy Spirit. And I think maybe in our prayers, we can be thankful for that reality, because as we're going to see as we go through this series, is that the Holy Spirit creates joy. It reminds us of Jesus. It sends us to Jesus. It brings to mind the things that are necessary to get along in life in a fallen world. It gives us deep wisdom, and it blows like the wind.
Think about this, the location of the Holy Spirit's given not to come along and just aid, but to indwell you.
Yeah.
If you are in Christ. And you trace this out in the Bible. The Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. Then the Holy Spirit was in the cloud and fire taking the Israelites. And then in a tabernacle. And then in a temple. And then Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, in, you know, making Jesus the incarnate Lord. And then indwells us. And so the location of the Holy Spirit is not just a force that helps you do better, but is a gift to children of God who've been redeemed and saved. And the and God lives in you in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God's not just close. God's in you in bringing those gifts of the conviction of sin, the pouring into our hearts the love of God. That's the language from Romans. And changing us, sanctifying us, cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. The glorious thing is that this is a change happening within us. It's like a time-release vitamin that's inside of us, bringing out the goodness, not the opposite of some bandage to hold us together.
That's so good. Think about that. That can change your life. You think about that. Amen.
Ask, seek, and knock. Thank you, Steve and Justin. That was Steve Brown, along with one of our voices of Key Life, Justin Holcomb. Always a good time when they hang out. And hey, good news. Justin will be with us all this week, teaching on the Spirit who gives life. So when was the last time you stopped to consider that Jesus is actually alive right here and active right now? Well, Steve gave a sermon a while back called When Jesus Leaves the Building. In that talk, he teaches from Luke 4 on what happens when Jesus is in the building. It is so good. In fact, we would love to mail you that entire sermon on CD for free. Just call us right now at 1-800-KEY-LIFE. That's 1-800-539-5433. You can also email Steve at keylife.org to ask for that CD. To mail your request, go to keylife.org/contact to find our mailing addresses for the U.S. and Canada. Just ask for your copy of the CD called When Jesus Leaves the Building. And one more thing. If you value the work of Key Life, would you join us in that work through your giving? You could charge a gift on your credit card or include a gift in your envelope. Or simply text Key Life to 28950 and then follow the instructions. And as always, if you can't give right now, or maybe you're just not called to, we get it. But if you would, please do pray for us, okay? Key Life is a member of ECFA in the States and 4C in Canada, and we are a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.